horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow.
Galveston, Texas was a thriving town located on an island in the bay off the Maine coast. Once a stronghold of pirates under the leadership of Jean Lafitte, the island was fast becoming an important shipping point for goods destined for Gulf Coast ports. Just after the Civil War, the island was connected with the mainland by one railroad trestle and a bridge. The Lone Ranger and his Indian companion, Tonto, rode leisurely along the coastline trail.
The reports we've had of smuggling along the coast leads me to believe a strong gang have headquarters somewhere near Galveston Bay. The island on which the town of Galveston is located is 25 or 6 miles long. Well, it might be the place where the smugglers land their contraband.
What smugglers bring in, Kemosabe?
Small kegs of gunpowder, which are sold to Indians and outlaws in the territory. The contraband is thought to be brought from Cuba.
If them bring in contraband to island, them have to take it over bridge or take it to mainland on railroad.
That's right.
It's strange them not find deserted place along main's shore to land.
Well, they're smart enough to realize they might be more easily detected if they did, Tonto. Many boats stop at Galveston.
Oh, me savvy.
The main shore has been patrolled constantly by soldiers from Houston, but without picking up any trace of the gang. I understand that trains have been searched and the bridge watched all the time. Before we reach the bridge to the island, we'll camp long enough for me to disguise my features so that I may ride without my mask. I carry a note from the commandant in Houston in case we have to contact the soldiers. Later, we'll ride to the island and camp near the town of Galveston. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
The masked man and Indian stopped in a grove for a short time. Later, without the mask and with his features carefully disguised, the Lone Ranger rode with Tonto across to the island. They made camp in a secluded place near the town, which was located on the east end of the long, bleak island. The Lone Ranger used his binoculars a few minutes, then spoke.
In spite of the length of this island, Tonto, I think the boat bringing in the contraband would dock in the harbor at Galveston.
Why do you think that?
There would be less danger of being detected. Activity on any other part of this barren island would attract attention.
Oh,
Well, it's almost sundown. We'll ride to town and look around. Let's go.
Easy, Scott. Easy, fella.
Come on, Silver.
Come on, Scout.
The masked man and Indian left their horses in the shadows on the edge of town and walked along the docks. Railroad tracks ran along the docks, and a train made up of one passenger car and two boxcars stood ready for its run to Houston, 48 miles northward. The Lone Ranger and Tonto stopped a moment and watched as two soldiers investigated the contents of the cars.
Those soldiers must be assigned to check each train before it leaves town.
They're engineer, fireman, standing in your engine.
I hope those soldiers are finished snooping around. We have a schedule to keep. You have to stop up at the depot and pick up the passengers yet.
Looks like they're about finished, Joe. By the way, I noticed the yard hands haven't put any more logs in the tender. It's only half full. You think that'll carry us back to Houston?
The load we take on at Houston is always enough to bring us here and take us back. We never fill up here.
Oh, well, I just wanted to be sure.
Come on, Tonto. I want to ask a few questions. Good evening.
Good evening, stranger. If you and the Indians fixing to ride this train, you better hot-foot it up to the depot.
We're not leaving tonight. Oh, how often do trains leave for Houston?
Well, this one leaves every evening about this time. There's one comes in from Houston in about an hour. We pass it on a siding a few miles north on the mainland. You can catch that train leaving here in the morning at 8 o'clock.
There are just two trains a day?
That's right. We get back here in Galveston in the morning at 10. We make a round trip every night and spend the day here. The other train makes a round trip every day and spends the night here. That's the way it works, mister.
Oh, thanks for the information.
What? Well, there's the highball. Let's go, Bill.
All right, Joe. I notice you two seem mighty interested watching us check that train. You have business here in the docks, mister?
No, we're strangers in town, and we're just looking around.
Strangers, huh?
That's right.
Well, for certain reasons, it isn't healthy for strangers to hang around the docks. I suggest, if you want to keep out of trouble, that you stay uptown.
All right, soldier, we meant no harm.
Something's going on, it's against the law, and you might be picked on suspicions, Abby.
We understand, and thanks for the tip. Let's go, Tonto.
Two seamen who had been lounging on a nearby dock had also been watching the Lone Ranger and Tonto. When the tall man and Indian started toward the main part of town, one of the seamen remarked,
"The tall stranger and the Indian, they were very much interested in the train, eh, Rusty?"
"Yeah, they sure were, Carlos. And I noticed them asking questions of the train crew."
"They might bear watching. It is not safe for us to have strangers snooping around."
"We'll keep our eyes open. If they come down around here again, we'll try to find out more about them."
"They could learn nothing while that train was here. But we cannot let anyone do too much snooping near the other train when it's ready to leave in the morning."
"Ah, the soldiers who come here in the morning to check the train have never got wise, so why should anyone else?"
"See, that is true. It must be a clever plan that your friend Luke Powell thought of, senor."
"Luke is one hombre who knows his way around. Prides himself on fooling the authorities. He's down on the boat making plans for loading the stuff tonight, so we might as well go and talk to him. Come on."
Rusty and Carlos went aboard a small but sturdy boat moored at one of the docks. Luke Powell was with the captain and two other men. Luke showed interest when he heard about the two strangers.
"We'll keep our eyes open for those two, just in case they come sneaking around again. Tonight we take ashore another load of kegs to go on the morning train. We'll need everybody to help, and we'll have to work fast."
"Senor Luke, since this is my first trip, I do not know how you work this business."
"Tell him the setup, Luke."
"Yeah, sure. You see, Carlos, Lefty, who is the engineer on the train that arrives in town tonight, along with the fireman Sam, are in on the deal. The train is put on the siding on the dock. Then we unload the wood that's left in the tender, put the kegs in, and pile the wood back on top of the kegs."
"And the soldiers who come along in the morning to check the train for contraband never think of looking under the kindling logs in the tender."
"Oh, that's very clever, Luke."
"Yeah, we've managed to get away with it so far, Carlos."
"But the unloading of the kegs,
How is that done?
Easy. There's a town a few miles away between here and Houston that always gets a lot of freight shipped in. While the freighters may not load it there, it's customary for the engine and tender to leave the cars and go up around the bend to take on water at a water tower there.
That's right. Some of the gang are always waiting there to help unload the kegs in a hurry. They toss the logs back in the tender, and that's all there is to it.
But it's risky. The law may get suspicious if anyone sees some of the men waiting near the water tower.
Look, Carlos, once the train is cleared here by the soldiers who inspect it, nobody thinks of contraband being on it. The law still thinks it's brought into the country some other way.
The main thing is to see that no one snoops around and finds out the kegs are really put on the train right there on the dock. That's why I was worrying about those two strangers a while ago.
Yeah. And speaking of those strangers, that tall hombre and the Indian, I suggest you go uptown, Rusty, and try to locate them. Then keep an eye on them until the rest of us get the stuff loaded.
All right, Luke. Suits me. I reckon it isn't going to be any trouble finding them. Got a good look at them when they were standing on the dock. I'll see you all later. So long.
So long.
Adios.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had gone to the cafe in Galveston to look over the crowd. They sat for some time at a back table. They had no reason to notice Rusty when he entered. But later, after the man had taken a position at the end of the bar and glanced their way several times, the Lone Ranger remarked,
Tonto, the man standing over there who seemed very much interested in us.
Ah, me see him looking at us many times.
We'll get up quietly and go out. I want to see if he follows us.
Come on.
Darkness had fallen, and the two men glanced about, then suddenly darted into the shadows between the buildings and stood waiting.
We'll know in a minute if he's going to follow us.
Look, Yamasabi.
Yes?
Him come out. Look him round. Now him stop.
For a long moment, the Lone Ranger and Tonto watched from the shadows as Rusty stood seemingly undecided what to do. Then they saw him turn and walk away.
He's heading for the docks. I'm sure he was following us just now.
Me think so.
Now we'll follow him, Tonto. I'm curious to know more about him. Let's go.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto moved along cautiously some distance behind Rusty. They were ready to dart into the shadows if he should turn around. But he didn't look back and soon disappeared in the dark shadows along the docks.
We've lost him.
He'll go into shadows near a warehouse, maybe.
Well, the train from Houston is due most any time now. We'll go to the siding where the other train was standing.
Why we do that?
I'd like to watch what goes on after the freight is unloaded on the docks. We may get some clue as to how that contraband is taken to the mainland.
This place, where we stand before.
Yes.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto stopped and stood a moment looking at the boats moored a short distance away. Suddenly...
Reach! Follow here! Better do as he says.
He's surprised, eh, Rusty?
Three of them behind us.
I heard you, Indian. There are three of us, and we're ready to plug both of you.
You see, I figured when you disappeared so fast after you left the cafe that you were wise to the fact I was watching you. And I headed for here hoping you'd follow me. I got two of my friends and waited for you to show up.
All right, you have the drop on us. But what's this all about?
We sort of figure you're doing some snooping around these docks, mister.
We were down this way a while ago, but there's no law that says strangers can't look the town over.
That's right, there isn't. But there's nothing here to make folks as curious as you two seem to be. We're taking you aboard that boat yonder, mister. And if you or the Indian try any tricks, by thunder, we'll plug both of you in the back. Now start walking.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. to continue. For a moment, the Lone Ranger stood motionless, and Tonto glanced quickly at him, as if expecting a signal to go into action. But the masked man had decided to find out what it was all about. He returned Tonto's glance, then spoke.
All right, Tonto. We'll do as he says.
Well, that's showing sense. Go on, walk along that dock over there.
Watch out for any sudden moves, Luke.
If they try any, you and Carlos use your guns along with me. All right, there's a gangplank. Go on board, both of you.
Ahoy aboard! Have your guns ready to receive visitors.
Ahoy, those two, Luke.
We prisoners again, looks like.
It would be useless to try for a break now. We'll wait our chance. Meantime, we may find out plenty.
Turn left to the captain's cabin. It's there where the door is open.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto, with gunmen all around them, moved along the deck and stepped into the captain's cabin. Two men had gone in before them and stood facing them with drawn guns.
Welcome aboard, strangers. You couldn't fight your way out of this crowd, so you might as well loosen your gun belts and drop them. Go ahead, drop them. And we're watching you plenty close. Pick them up and put them over there on the table, Carlos.
All right.
Hey, Luke, who are they? Why have you brought them here, eh? I do not want trouble.
Stop worrying, Skipper. You'll be able to set out for Cuba with this tub without having trouble. These are the two hombres Rusty and Carlos saw snooping around a while ago, just before the train left, you remember?
Oh, yes. Now I remember, senor.
Now, monsieur, are you going to explain what you and the Indian were down here for?
I told you, just to look things over.
Maybe they found out something.
Yeah, better get them to talk, Luke.
Just what is there for us to find out?
We're asking the questions, you understand me? Why were you talking to the train crew and the soldiers a while ago?
We might have been asking about smugglers.
So, you see, Senor Luke, they do know something.
Shut up, Carlos. By Jiminy, I'm going to gun whip this smart aleck until he tells me what I want to know.
Better not try it.
Action tough, huh? Well,
hey,
I'll
Luke,
get up.
The train's coming. We haven't time to waste on these two now.
All right, grab them time hand and foot. Then put them on the bunks over there. When we get through with the job we have to do, I'll show that sneaking stranger I really mean business. Tie him up and hurry.
Jeez.
Unable to cope with so many, the Lone Ranger and Tonto submitted to being bound hand and foot. They were placed onto the bunks, and Luke and the others went out, closing the cabin door.
Tonto, I'm sure we found the smugglers.
But we're not able to do anything.
There's one precaution they forgot to take, Tonto.
What that?
In leaving two people tied in the same room, they should each be tied to something stationary.
That right. You remember that.
I'll manage to ease off this bunk. You do the same over there. I'm on my feet. I'll hop across to you.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had each eased off their bunks to their feet. Then, being careful not to lose balance, they hopped toward each other until they met.
Now, we'll turn our backs, Tonto. I'll try to loosen your ropes.
The masked man and Indian stood back to back. Though his hands were tied together at the wrists, the Lone Ranger worked at the knots that bound Tonto's hands. It was a slow and tedious job, but finally the ropes loosened.
Let me get hands loose. Let me untie my feet. Let me untie you.
In a few moments, the two men were free, and the Lone Ranger moved quickly to the table to retrieve his gun belt.
I'm glad they left this here.
Let me get my gun belt, too. Now what we do, Kimasabi?
We'll have to move carefully, Tonto. They must have left a man on watch outside.
But now we have guns.
Even so, we can't handle so many. What's more, my main interest is in getting proof that these men are really the smugglers.
What we do now?
At least open the door and see if the way is clear. Come on.
The Lone Ranger slowly opened the cabin door. Then, seeing no one, he and Tonto slid out and moved along the deck in the shadows.
And they seem to be loading something on the train. I can't make things out very clearly from here.
You think them load kegs?
Maybe so. They could have had the keg hidden and waiting in one of the shacks out there.
Wait, Kimasabi.
Yes, I see him, Tonto.
At the same moment, both men had seen the shadow cast by the light of a lantern near the bow of the boat. It was the man on watch, just around the bend of the forward superstructure. Signaling for silence and caution, the Lone Ranger, followed by Tonto, crept forward until he was almost upon the unsuspecting victim. Then he sprang.
Come here, you.
Before the sailor could cry out, the Lone Ranger hooked his arm around the man's neck and pulled back hard, shutting off his breath. Tonto moved swiftly around in front of the man, who looked with frightened eyes at the Indian's menacing guns.
You not make sound.
We'll take him into the cabin we just left. We'll tie and gag him. Otherwise, he'd give the alarm.
The seaman was taken into the cabin, where he was securely tied hand and foot, and then gagged. Then the Lone Ranger and Tonto once more went on deck.
Now, Tonto, we'll try to make the shadows along the docks without being seen. Come on.
Within a short time, the two men reached the shadows along the docks, at a safe distance from where Luke and the others were busy at the train.
We're safe now. What we do?
I'll give you the note the commandant gave me. Go to the place where we left the horses. Right across the bridge and give the note to one of the guards on the mainland. Ask him to bring soldiers here as soon as possible. I saw a company of them camping on the mainland near the bridge.
And what you do?
I'll wait here and keep under cover until you get back. You should return within an hour with the soldiers.
Not right. Me go now.
Yes, here's the note.
Me go quick. Be back soon. Adios.
Adios.
After Tonto left, the Lone Ranger remained in the shadows until he saw Luke and the others going toward the boat. The moon shone brightly so that he saw them clearly as they went up the gangplank. The Lone Ranger, still keeping to the shadows, quickly moved alongside the boat so that he might hear the reaction when the gang discovered he and Tonto were gone. The men first went into the captain's cabin. Then a couple of moments later, several of them ran out and hunted around the boat.
Maybe they're still aboard.
Senor Roque, I told you they might bring trouble.
Stop worrying. They don't know what's going on. At least they don't know how the kegs are sent to the mainland, or they wouldn't be stupid to find out.
I do not like it, Luke.
I should have gun-whipped that tall stranger when I had the chance. Anyway, they'll not be able to interfere with this load. I don't want the others to wait at the water tower for nothing. They're not going to either.
If they should bring the authorities, then what...
What if they did? They have no proof of anything against us. I'll send Rusty and Carlos ashore to watch the other train in case they show up again. Hey, Rusty, Carlos.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Oh, Rusty, you and Carlos go ashore and watch things, eh? You see anybody snooping? Shoot. And don't wait to ask questions.
All right. Come on, Carlos.
I'm ready, Rusty.
The Lone Ranger headed back into the darkness along the docks as Rusty and Carlos came down the gangplank and walked toward the train. The two men stopped a moment just a short distance from where the masked man stood in the shadows alongside a shack.
Now look, Carlos, you walk to the left and circle the train. I'll go to the right. And that way we'll pass each other on both sides. We'll always be within calling distance of each other.
All right, Rusty.
Now if you see anyone, shoot. But be careful. All right, let's start walking.
The two men circled the train in opposite directions. The Lone Ranger noticed Rusty moved more slowly than Carlos. He waited until Rusty came near where he was standing. Carlos had not yet come into sight at the end of the train. The Lone Ranger called low.
Quick, Rusty. Come here. Hurry.
Carlos, I thought you went around again.
As Rusty approached the shadows, thinking to find Carlos, the Lone Ranger suddenly struck him a blow on the head with his gun butt.
Here's one less. And I get the other fellow. I'll pull this one out of the way.
Rusty, where are you?
Over here, Carlos. I found something. Come here.
Once more, the Lone Ranger's arm swung up and down.
No.
And Carlos, too, fell from the blow. The masked man pulled Carlos into the shadows, then using their bandanas, tied them securely. Then he moved quickly to the train and walked along from car to car, inspecting the contents. As before, there were two boxcars and one coach. He found no sign of the kegs he hunted. Then, hearing hoofbeats approaching, he stepped again into the darkness between two buildings.
Hello.
He brings soldiers.
I'm Sergeant Barry, in charge of this detail. I didn't know who you were earlier when I questioned you.
That's all right, Sergeant. How many men have you?
Well, I brought 20. There are more at camp.
I suggest you send one back with a message to round up some men who'll be waiting at the water tower a few miles back along the railroad.
Yes, of course. You, Adams, take that message to the camp right away.
Right, Sergeant.
Steady, boy. Come on, get up.
I'm sure the smugglers are on that boat over there. But first, I'd like to get the proof. I know they loaded kegs aboard this train, but I... Wait a minute.
The Lone Ranger's eye had been caught by the heaped-up kindling in the tender. He remembered what the engineer had said just before the other train left.
The load of kindling we take on at Houston is always enough to bring us here and take us back. We never fill up here.
The tender... Under those logs, Sergeant. I'm almost certain that's where you'll find the contraband.
We'll soon find out. Let's investigate, men.
All right. All right.
In a short time, the kegs had been revealed. Then the soldiers moved on the boat, taking the smugglers by complete surprise. Before long, the fight ended and the gang was disarmed. After the wounded had been attended to, the Lone Ranger and Tonto, with the sergeant and some of the soldiers, stood inside the captain's cabin on the boat, talking.
I think the smuggling ring has been broken for good, Sergeant.
Yes, thanks to you, sir. We found the engineer and fireman who were implicated sleeping in the crew quarters aboard this boat. I'm sure the others at the water tower will be taken without trouble.
I am a Cuban, and this is my boat. You have not the right...
You're a criminal along with the others. You'll have plenty of chance to have your say when you face the commandant at Army headquarters in Houston.
Yeah, he sure will.
This man and that Indian, it's all because of them that this trouble is come.
Quiet, you. Mister, we have a lot to thank you for.
Thanks aren't necessary. Tonto and I'll ride ahead and see you again at your headquarters. Adios, Sergeant. Adios,
sir. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, sir. The tall hombre. I do not understand about him.
Maybe crooks in your country haven't heard of him, but most of them in this country have. And believe me, mister, they always regret it when they tangle with the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.